Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Stephen Blue is here. Stephen is the president and the CEO of Miller Ingenuity, which is a company that provides specialty equipment to, especially in the railroads. But he's a nationally recognized expert in transforming businesses just like yours and mine into growth powerhouses, and sometimes global growth powerhouses. And so he's been around the block a few times, folks, and we're looking forward to hearing what he has to say. His third book is called American Manufacturing 2.0, What Went Wrong and How to Make It Right. Stephen Blue, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you here, Stephen, and congratulations on your third book now. In your book, in chapter one, the title is The Rise and Fall of American Manufacturing. So most of us know about the rise of American manufacturing, the Industrial Revolution, the first 70 to 75 years of the 20th century was probably the rise. And of course, some people are aware of globalization, how American manufacturing has not been done so well in later years. What do you think is the reason why the American manufacturing sector fell?
Well, there's what I call the hard reasons, Jim, and the soft reasons, and I'll speak about the soft reasons as being the most important. Hard reasons are, everybody knows, okay, the World Trade Organization deal and NAFTA and
yep.
Currency manipulators and all that kind of stuff. And either as a result of those or coincident with those, what happened was CEOs decided that the workforce was not that important anymore, and
mm-hmm.
And they started offshoring everything.
Mm-hmm.
So they started chasing cheap labor and cheap tax havens all over the world, and they gave up on their workforce. And so now people are saying, oh, you're not going to be able to beat the Chinese. Robots will always be more efficient, and that where they really went wrong was they started treating their employees as expendable assets when
right.
they should have been treating them as renewable resources. And that's where the whole thing went wrong. And so now the CEOs of American manufacturers, Jim, have a big problem on their hands. These deals are coming unraveled under the Trump administration. And the playing field will get more level. It'll never be completely level. But it'll get level on a global stage. And then now they have a problem. Because they can't blame the bad trade deals anymore, can they?
Right, right.
They have to look at themselves. They have to examine their own operations, and they have to start rebuilding and re-energizing their workforce. And,
well, this employee disregard situation you're talking about, that's not just manufacturing. That's corporate America.
Absolutely.
And it's gotten worse since 2008. What do you think?
Absolutely, it's gotten worse since 2008, and but you're right, it's every industry and every sector almost exclusively, with possibly the exception of some Silicon Valley.
I mean, think about this. How many times have you heard a CEO get into trouble, and the first thing that they do, I mean the very first thing they do, is start cutting heads?
Oh, sure. And
I mean, it's like, that's easy, cut payroll. We'll do 15. I heard a bank CEO got into trouble in his 90-day conference call, and they were demanding he cut payroll 700, 800 people. He said, heck, I'll cut 1,500. He just, all at once, and guess what? He did that.
That's what I mean. They treat the employees as expendable assets. And,
yep.
It's crazy in corporate America, too. I've worked for big companies, and I don't like that. I don't do that anymore. But what big companies do is they play these shell games, right? Let's reduce headcount. And then what happens, Jim, as you know, they reduce the headcount, and then they bring the same people back as contractors.
Right. Oh, yeah, no, that's been and the truth is, in some ways, Stephen, let's give the devil his due, in some ways this has been good for small business because in the last, in the last 30 years, the small business sector has grown and become more sophisticated and more successful and actually wealthier because we lost those jobs and we came back and started a business and then went back and thanked the guy who fired us because it made us start a business. I've done that. Stephen, I did that.
Many people have done that.
Yeah. So devil is due. There's equal and opposite reaction. But one thing I'd like to ask you, and I hate to parse your words, but let me answer this question. Wouldn't it be more appropriate to say the decline in American manufacturing jobs? Because American manufacturers didn't necessarily decline. They took 60% of their business offshore, like you said.
That's exactly what they did.
The jobs declined, not necessarily the manufacturers. Right?
Well, that's exactly right, because they're making probably more money than they were before.
But you can't fight. You can't fight natural progression of things. It would have been hard for those companies to fight globalization. How would you have done it? How would you have fought that?
They have to basically understand one basic tenet is that you cannot outcheat the Chinese.
That's
you
true.
You can't do it. There's just no way. And I get asked all the time when I do interviews that, you know, how the heck are we going to, you know, go cheaper than the Chinese? And, well, maybe we should ask the American consumer not to buy from Walmart. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely crazy. They're going to buy wherever they can get the best deal. And when you look at the employment situation in the United States, the top three employers in the 50s were General Motors, Exxon, and I can't remember who the third one was, but they were all manufacturers. The top The top employers now are Walmart, Yum Brands, which does Pizza Hut and all that kind of stuff, and I don't know, some other service provider. But the wages are like 50% of what they used to.
Right. Can't we lay some of the blame for the decline in American manufacturing at the unions, too?
Yes and no, okay. Of course, unions aren't anything what they used to be. They used to represent 40% of the workforce. Now I think it's something like 16%.
No, in the private sector, it's more like about 7%.
Okay, there you are, 7%. Well, I've dealt with unions and I've dealt in union free organizations, so I've had experience on both sides of it. And the CEOs like to blame the unions for bad union agreements, ones that they don't like, that are restrictive and so forth. But guess what? It takes two to negotiate an agreement, and both sides have to agree. And these guys like to lay the blame on the unions for a deal that they didn't like to begin with. But they're afraid to do anything about it because then they take a strike and then their business goes right down the tubes. So what I always tell people is, you know, it takes two to tango, buddy, so don't just lay it on their lap.
Right.
You agreed to that deal.
Hey, Stephen, I need the website for your book, please.
StephenLBlue.com.
All right. StephenLBlue.com is the website. Check it out, folks. The book is called American Manufacturing 2.0. Quick break. More to come. I'm going to get Stephen to help us with our businesses after these messages.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.